ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Turn to 1 Timothy as we continue our in-depth study of the book or letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And as we've seen, the church in Ephesus had some problems. There was some false teaching. Some were getting back to the law of God for salvation. Things were out of order. And that's why Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, who is overseeing the church in Ephesus now. And keep in mind, Paul's been released from prison in Rome, and he headed to Ephesus with Timothy just to see how things were going. And like I said, it wasn't going well. We saw the warning that Paul gave to the Ephesian elders back in Acts chapter 20. The problem was they didn't heed this warning. They allowed savage wolves to come into the church. They also allowed these false teachers from within the church to destroy their faith. Now, obviously, the false teachers didn't see it that way, but these guys were not serving God because what they were teaching went against what God had said in His Word, the Bible. Again, we talked about this, and we'll probably talk about it often. The whole purpose of this letter is summed up in 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, where Paul said, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." The basic idea is we need to get back to the basics. You know, I told you the story before about Vince Lombardi. You know, he's playing the Chicago Bears, and the Bears were killing him, and first half was over, and the players were like, "Oh man, he's going to kill us when we get into that locker room. He is just going to ream us out. It's not going to be good." And so they all were in the locker room, and here comes Vince Lombardi, and he picks up a football, and he goes, "Gentlemen, this is a football." What was he saying? He's saying, "Get back to the basics, guys. The basics of football, you know. Today we have all the dancing and stuff, you know, they score a touchdown and everyone, they get excited, right? That's your whole job. That's your whole job. When I get done with my sermon, I don't throw my Bible down and go, "Oh, that was a great one," do I? No, because that's ridiculous. That would be silly. So this is Paul's charge to Timothy this morning, what we're going to be focusing on. And it was a difficult charge, but a needed charge for Timothy. I've broken these verses down into four main points, and they're in your bulletin. Complete the work in 1 Timothy 3, the first part. The reason to stay, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. The reason to correct in 1 Timothy 1, verses 5 through 7. And law or grace in 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 11. So with that as our introduction, let's pick up 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 3. And let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we look at Paul's charge to Timothy. He wrote, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Remember what I said when I opened up this letter. Paul's released from his first imprisonment in Rome, and him and Timothy were in Ephesus, and Paul dealt with these false prophets in Ephesus. And he said, "Timothy, I want you to stay behind. I want you to continue working on this, correct some of the problems that are going on here, raise up leaders and stuff." And Timothy doesn't want to do it. He's uncertain. And Paul urged him, and it speaks of Paul begging Timothy to stay to complete the work. Now, here's the thing, and we're not all the same. We're all individuals. We all have different personalities. Paul and Timothy were different people with two kinds of personalities. Paul was a tough guy, right? The guy gets stoned in a city, right? They stone him. They think he's dead. Disciples come around him. He wakes up and he goes back into the city. He was a tough dude. Timothy's a little bit more timid. They both loved the Lord. Paul didn't let things stop him. Timothy, "I don't know if I want to stay here. Things are kind of tough here in Ephesus." And here's the thing. When you look at Paul and you look at Timothy and put them side by side, well, you know, Paul's the guy that God needs to use. No. Paul and Timothy are the guys that God needed to use. What do I mean by that? again, that we're all different. The common denominator is Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. And I don't care if you're a person like Paul or a person like Timothy who is more timid. He never calls you to do something alone. He always is there with you. And we have to understand that. And Paul's encouraging Timothy, you need to complete this work. I've begun it here. I started this correcting the problems. But as we're going to see as we go through this letter, there were a lot of different things that were going on. 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul wrote this. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Hey, don't give up, Timothy. Forge ahead in the work that God has called you to do. You're prayed for. There were prophecies about the work that God was going to do through you. Continue on. Don't be discouraged. Now, let's be realistic. Isn't it easy to become discouraged? Absolutely it is. But we have to press on. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 through 16, Paul wrote this. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Yeah, Timothy was a young man in ministry, probably in his 30s. You know, when I first came up here, I was 35. Everyone thought I was a young guy. I don't hear that anymore. I don't know why, but Paul said, you know, yeah, you're young, but don't let that discourage you. Remember, they prayed for you, the prophecies that were given for you, and God will equip you for the work he's called you to do. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 through 21, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Make no mistake, it's going to be a battle, and we have to guard what has been entrusted to us. But don't let it stop you from the work that God has called you to do. This is something that I think we don't understand. If you are doing things that are helping the kingdom of God, that are building people up in the faith, that are leading people to the Lord, the enemy doesn't like it. And he's going to try and stop you. Now, if you're not doing anything for the Lord and you're tiptoeing through the tulips, maybe it's because you're not doing anything for the Lord. See, the enemy doesn't care. That's why with religion, he doesn't care about all these heretical groups that are out there. He encourages it. The devil loves religion because it gets people to feel comfortable about where they're going apart from Jesus Christ. And here, Paul's encouraging his son in the faith, Timothy. Continue in Ephesus. Continue doing the work. Being a runner, I don't like to stretch. Stretching's important. But I don't like to. It's one. I'm just like, come on. I'm running. I don't want to stretch. But you need to. And God stretches us. Isn't it wonderful to be in your comfort zone? Yeah, it is. You know, I worked in the ICU and CCU and hospitals for years. And then at the hospital I was working at, they were starting an open heart unit. That was out of my league. But they asked me if I wanted to be a part of it and help start it up. And I said, sure. And so we went to Loyola Hospital to be trained with the nurses and surgeons there. Wow, was I out of my league. God was stretching me for this new work. And I learned it, and it was awesome. But that uncomfortable part was not knowing what to do. And the same is true with our Christian walk. God calls us to do things that makes us uncomfortable. I told you before, speaking in front of people was the farthest thing from my mind when I was in high school. In fact, it was the scariest thing. I promised myself if I went to college, I would never take a class where I had to give a speech, because that would be horrible. Also, music. Music is not my gift. Absolutely. If you sit next to me, you understand that. My music teacher is still in therapy. She asked me to sing one day, and that was the last thing she didn't ask me that anymore. But God stretches us, and you know what happens? We get comfortable. And what does he do? We're going to stretch you some more. Why? Because then we have to trust in him. See, it's really easy to get comfortable with the Lord. Hey, I've got this down now. I've got my ABCs. They're all in alignment. And then God throws something at you. Okay, now you're going to have to trust me on this one. Look at the children of Israel, right? They get out of Egypt. God delivers them. And what happens? They get to the Red Sea. Red Sea's in front of them, mountains on either side of them, and they look back and here is Pharaoh and his army coming after them. Moses, what did you do, man? You brought us here to die? You see, God was stretching their faith. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to be going into the promised land. You got to trust me. I delivered you out of Egypt, the Lord's telling them. But they lost their faith because they took their eyes off the Lord. This is impossible to get through. And what does God do? He opens up the Red Sea and they walk through on dry ground. Egyptian army comes through with Pharaoh and they all are drowned in the Red Sea. Trusting in God. He's always there. And if he calls you, he will equip you for the work that he's called you to do. And for Timothy, Paul's saying, you know what? Forget those fables and genealogies and foolish things that don't mean anything in God's economy. They don't build up the body of Christ. They tear it down and divide it. You know, the word charge here that Paul uses is a military term to give strict orders from a commanding officer. Hey, Timothy, I'm not telling you if you want to do this, you are going to do this. That's the idea here. He's commanding Timothy to stay there, and not only stay there, but to teach sound doctrine. He's basically saying, Timothy, you know that God has called you to be the pastor there in Ephesus. And it's not going to be easy. The city's not only filled with immorality and they worship false gods like Diana, but in the church there are a lot of false teaching that needs to be dealt with. But you're a soldier in the Lord's army, Timothy. You're under the command of Jesus. He's given you orders. Now obey. Stay there, teach the word of God to the people and get them back on track in the ways of God. It's easy to get overwhelmed, but don't let the situation fog what God is trying to do in your life. I'll give you an example. According to the Bureau of Standards in Washington, a dense fog covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet is composed of less than 1 glass of water. Wow. The amount of water is divided into about 60 billion tiny droplets. Yet when those minute particles settle over a city or the countryside, they can almost blot out everything from your sight. And that's the problem, because a lot of us at times as Christians live in that fog. You know, we allow a cupful of troubles to cloud our vision and dampen our spirits. We got to live in the sunshine. And I don't necessarily mean the S-U-N, but the S-O-N in Him. Don't let a glass of water fog your view of seeing what God wants to do in you. For me, one of my biggest encouragers is my wife. And we need those people in our lives who will encourage us to move forward and complete the work that God has called us to do. Now, think about it. Moses is passing off the scene. He's going to die. He passed the ministry on to Joshua. And it sounds great. Joshua is the new guy. But put yourself in Joshua's sandals. Think about it. Moses has been with the children of Israel for 40 years leading them, basically in a circle, right? 40 years camping. You know, I like to camp. I'm thankful for hotel rooms now. God made them. I'm going to use them. But camping was great when we were young. But 40 years. And Moses, because he misrepresented the Lord, was not going to be able to enter into the promised land. And Joshua was there. He saw all that the people went through those 40 years, how they responded to Moses and how they wanted to kill him at times. And now he's taken over. And so fear, anxiety. And Moses is trying to encourage Joshua. In Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Wow. I mean, can you imagine that? Okay, Joshua, you're not doing this on your own. The Lord is going before you. In fact, He's the one who's promised the children of Israel this land. So don't fear. Complete the work that God has called you to do, Joshua, and how important that is. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. God will see you through. For David, when his life was coming to an end, and he is encouraging his son Solomon, he was going to be the new king. And Solomon's young. He's inexperienced. And this is what David says to him in 1 Kings 2, verses 1 through 4. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your son takes heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Notice David is encouraging Solomon, be strong, be a man, follow the ways of the Lord. Think about the advice that he could have given him. Solomon, invest your money wisely. Or invest in a house, you're going to get a good return. Or make sure you're getting paid for what you're worth, whatever. You know, you can put whatever you want in there. Don't let the things of this world overpower you, Solomon. Focus on the Lord. Stay close to him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Put God first. God will take care of things. And what an important lesson. If you put things ahead of your relationship with the Lord, I guarantee you, you'll never be satisfied. You just look at this world today and you see that. We are one of the most prosperous countries in the world, and look at how dissatisfied people are in America. We have everything, and we have nothing apart from the Lord. In fact, a great book to read is one that Solomon wrote, Ecclesiastes. He did everything you could think of under the sun and was empty, was never satisfied. And he comes to the end of the book, and he basically says, you know, you got to love the Lord, man. You got to serve him. That's where it's all at. All this other stuff, it's empty. It's vanity of vanities, emptiness. You're trying to grasp for something and it ends up being nothing. And that's the world. Apart from Christ, you try to fill that void in your heart and you can't. Only Christ can fill that spot. Now, God allows us to be in difficult situations, doesn't he? Absolutely. But you have to set your minds to meet that challenge or you end up giving up. I know what God has called me to do. In 28 years, there's been discouragement for me in the work that I'm doing. And my wife, bless her heart, she would say to me, you know, Joe, do you think God just brought you up here to drop you off? And it's really kind of simple, right? And it wasn't a jab. It was just reality. Of course not. He called me up here. He's not leaving. All right, thanks. I needed that to forge ahead. Now, we talked about this last time, this ad that was in a newspaper years and years and years ago. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Who would apply for something like that, right? You'd be a fool to do that. But it appeared in the London newspaper, and you know what? Thousands of men applied for that position. Are they crazy? Well, no. It was signed by Arctic explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton, and that made the difference. When God calls you, he, in a sense, is asking you, are you ready for this? Join up. Complete the work I called you to do. And you know what? We do what he's called us to do, and then he stretches us more and more. And it's called growing in our walk with the Lord. We got to complete that work. Now, as we read on here in 1 Timothy, we're going to see the reason to stay, why Timothy was to stay. And we're going to look at verse 3 again and verse 4 here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Timothy was to get the people back to the truths of God found in the Word of God instead of fables and genealogies and foolish things. Endless genealogies, maybe it's related to Gnosticism. Their idea was that Jesus was an emanation from God. He wasn't really God, but he was an emanation from him down the road. It could have been several hundred other gods or just a couple other gods, but he is an almighty God. It's possible. Some think it has to do with the Jewish legalism and how they sought a righteousness by one's ancestry. The Jewish people, and especially the religious leaders, thought Father Abraham stood at the gates of hell to pluck any Jew out. But for the Gentiles, they're done. They're going in. That was the mentality. Because we're Jewish, God will never, ever send us to hell. No, it wasn't true. One author gives us this insight. He said, as we learn the word and share with others, there's a danger of trying to find something in Scripture no one else has ever seen before. That's what some in Ephesus were doing as they looked into Old Testament genealogies, discussed the stories endlessly, and veered off into all sorts of vain speculations. In so doing, they missed out on solid teaching. To those who desire to be Bible teachers, I give this advice. Give up trying to be creative and innovative. Instead, stick with the simple, powerful truth of the gospel, and you will never go wrong. You know, you could spend all your time looking at things, but the reality is, what does God have for me in here that I can apply to my life and grow? How do I learn more about God? Just be in His Word. You know, we will never fully understand completely all that's in here from Genesis to Revelation, because God's Word's living and powerful and will meet us where we're at. But we can't get lost in things that are not going to help us. Now, there are those that think doctrine divides. And I guess they're right. Doctrine does divide. Why? Well, when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, and people believe all roads lead to God, that's going to divide. But do you ignore the truth to make them happy? No. You love them too much to tell them a lie and say, oh, you're right, all roads lead to God. No. Jesus is the only way. We have developed a teaching today where it's just a positive, feel-good message. It doesn't offend anyone, and it's tolerant of everyone's beliefs. But you know what? Doesn't God convict our hearts as we're going through His Word? It should. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's a surgical instrument that cuts away that stuff that needs to be removed from our lives. In fact, Paul tells Timothy, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine in 1 Timothy 4:13. Teach the Word of God, because it's living, it is powerful, it will transform our lives. And I've told you before, there are times, you know, I'm going through something and, you know, my daily reading, I'm going through it and I go, man, the Lord's nailing me on this one. So, you know, okay, you know, I'll get in my car, do my daily, go to the post office, go to the church, do what I need to do here. It's like every teacher on the radio station is teaching the same thing, just nailing me. I'm like, all right, what's going on? All right, Lord, this is you. You're trying to get my attention on this one. Yeah. But if we move away from sound doctrine, what are we going to do? We're going to be entertaining, and that's a lot of what the church is. I told you before, and we'll get into it as we get into 1 Timothy chapter 4, but there's a church out in California where the pastor and some of the workers there for the sermon dressed up in figures from Toy Story 4. All right, so we're going to be like little kids now, right? Is that what we're going to teach? Or we're going to teach sound doctrine, healthy doctrine? It's dangerous. Sound doctrine really is the lifeblood of the local church. It's critical for the health. Think about it. Years ago, one church in town was kind of making fun of us and putting us down, and they said, oh, in Calvary Chapel, that's the teaching church. Hey, thank you very much, man. Praise God. Yeah, we are. Look at the pastoral epistles. These are to pastors, okay? If healthy doctrine, sound doctrine was not important in the local church, why would Paul speak some 32 times, make 32 references to doctrine, teachers, and teaching in these epistles? 32 times. Because it's important. It's vital to the function of the church. I'll give you a couple examples. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Titus 2:1, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Again, healthy. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 1 Timothy 4:11, these things command and teach. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And lastly, in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear. Yeah, very clear. And yet, a Gallup poll from 2022, a record low 20% of Americans now say the Bible is the literal Word of God. It was at 24% in 2017. 20% of Americans. How many Americans consider themselves Christian? It's like 80-some percent. And yet they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God? What do you believe then? And that's the big question. When you look at what they believe, you understand that they're not reading their Bible. They don't believe it. In fact, 29% say the Bible is a collection of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. Okay. Paul was warning Timothy about this, and it's going on also today. And once the regular teaching of the Word of God, of doctrine, of theology, is done away with, what's going to happen? You're going to starve, spiritually speaking. I'm not here to give pep talks. Does God's Word encourage us? It absolutely does. Absolutely. Does it correct us? Absolutely. Does it build us up in the faith? Absolutely. But it's not a pep talk.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's Word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's Word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.